No justice, no peace, no racist police.
We decided to bring our six-year-old and our three-year-old today because we feel like it's a really important issue that could certainly impact them as they grow older. It's important for them to know about, but it was really hard to talk to them about it in a way that they could understand without really frightening them. And it frightens me as a parent and as a human being in this country, but it also makes me, it breaks my heart to think that my children are going to grow up in this country and learn about these things because it's part of their world.
You have an older child too.
I have a daughter who's 14 who's very involved.
I don't want you to speak for her, but I've seen her before. Do you think she's, since she's grown up with some of these issues, how is she now after all these years?
You should ask her because she's, okay. In my opinion, she's more empowered. She's so aware of what's going on in the world. I think the downside of it is she's walking around with all of it, and that awareness is a heavy thing to carry for a young person, for any of us, but especially for someone who's growing up in the world.
Astra Arwen the Fountain.
I was asking your mom, you know, she's grown up with this, how has she evolved, and she said you should ask her.
Sweet.
So I've seen you before at protests, especially concerning police issues. What have you seen over these years, and how are you now? Where are you now?
Well, since I was 11, I guess, I've seen just so much brutality and so much against the people. It's just, it's very hard for me to deal with it because they're supposed to be for the people. So lots of tear gas, lots of random arrests, lots of killings. So
can you talk about the police in Boulder? Have you ever seen anything?
Well, in Boulder, it's a little bit more sedated. The worst I've seen is one of the women that I know, she's about 60. She was run off the road at a fracking protest by a policeman. So he just, like, basically almost threatened to run her over. So other than that, it's been okay.
Don't shoot! Hands up! Don't
Gregory.
Shoot!
Well, talk to me about your son.
Malcolm X Grassroots Movement did a study of incidents in 2012 that found that every 28 hours, a black man is shot and killed by police, of various kinds, be that they hired by governmental agencies or security guards or self-appointed vigilantes. And my sign doesn't say it, but something even scarier is almost none of those people were armed.
When our rights are under attack, what do we do?
Stand up like that!
When our rights are under attack!
I'm Alicia, and I should say I'm a Unitarian Universalist minister. It seems like for centuries in America there's been a devaluation of black life, and this is just another instance of that. I mean, within the last month, four black men, all unarmed, were killed by police, and the police brutality is on the rise, especially in black communities, and there is an increased militarization of our police in the United States. That's actually unacceptable.
Can you remember back to when you found out about Michael and what you were feeling? What was your response, your reaction?
You know, his death was the fourth that I'd learned about in a short span of time, and so my reaction was one of horror, outrage at continued injustice and police brutality, and a sense that it has to stop and what we're doing is not working.
Any message to the public?
We'll stand with Ferguson. And you know, to really pay attention, I mean, the statistic of every 28 hours a black man is killed in the United States, or at least within the period of 2012 to 2013, is horrific. And I think people should be outraged about that, ought to educate themselves on the way injustice rolls around in this country, and then figure out how we can begin to address it in really sensible ways.
We've also been hearing about women of color being punched in the face, being thrown down. So it's not only just these young black men, which is definitely, you know, a problem, but also women are also victims of police brutality, and that we have to stand up for them as well.
How are you aware of this issue? I mean, is it just media or Facebook or?
Well, it's media, but and Facebook. I have a lot of friends on Facebook who are also rallying around the country. I grew up in Texas. I have friends all across the country. And this speaks to a lot of people. People understand the nature of police brutality, and now it's getting to the point that I think we're in crisis. And I think it's really important that we do stand united, and we don't see it as somebody else's issue. It's not somebody else's son or daughter, But it, we're looking at our communities. You know, a lot of people don't often care about things until they hit close to home. But I think this is closer than we think. And I think we can see that in the ways that police are attacking U.S. citizens, the militarization of... The militarization of the police. And we even saw the difference in Ferguson when people came in peace, when the police came in peace and in support. You could see what happened. You could see the difference.
No justice! No peace! No justice! No peace!
People in the United States were not themselves black, but inevitably have people in their lives who are black, who they love, are horrified by this. I mean, I think all of us should be horrified by this, but there are many, many people in the United States who have black people in their lives, who value black life, who think that that is very, very important, and who think that, you know, the police are just too heavily militarized. You know, I think there's been a lot of analysis lately about how the police are acting like soldiers, right? So this Ferguson seems like a war zone rather than a community within the United States.
The reason that I put this on my sign today is that, you know, it's very difficult sometimes to make good decisions because parts of our brains that are involved with survival are really running the show. And it's very difficult sometimes to sort of engage the part of the brain that can actually say, hang on, whoa, let me really think about this, let me make a good decision. And I think police officers have a very, very difficult job. And I think neuroscience could point to ways that we could better support police officers and the work that they do to be healthier themselves and then also to create a more sane and just world.
Do you think what happened in Missouri, do you think that that was a result of bad decisions and the lack of training?
I don't know about, you know, lack of training. I think that in my understanding that there's an effort made to, you know, provide training to police officers. I don't know if it's effective training. I don't know if after police officers are trained that they receive the kind of support that helps them to continue to do a good job. And yeah, I mean, I think it's highly possible that that could be, you know, qualified as a bad decision. And I think that one of the things that neuroscience is showing us is that it's not an all or nothing thing. You know, it's not like a person is all good and all bad. It's not about morality all the time. It's about what parts of the brain are actually functioning in a given moment and for what reasons.